the passing of an icon, and of course, I would sort of hasten to add that James Matthews helped you a lot in your career, and that a lot of people don't realize that he was, in fact, an editor of Muslim News at one stage.
Absolutely, Shafiq. So, you know, my first contact with James Matthews was around about 1966, when I was still a kid in primary school. And I remember we were delivering Muslim News, and James Matthews was in the passenger seat. My cousin was driving, and as we're driving along, my younger cousin next to me in the back of a station wagon, and he's, you know, putting us through a general knowledge quiz, you know, and this is after school, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, okay, I had enough of school, and now there's all this. Well, he wasn't an old man, but he was, you know, this guy's now, you know, putting us through. But, you know, he was so engaging, and then for the next 10 years or so, I, you know, would see him in passing, and I would see Mr. James Matthews, greet him when he was at the Muslim News office. And I used to see all these people walking in and out of his office. He had this little office downstairs. And Sheikh Najjar, Imam Harun, Sheikh Nazim. And he would actually be polishing up their writing, sometimes even their khutbas. And so at that point, I would say he was the de facto editor of Muslim News. And so he worked very closely with Imam Harun. I entered the scene, you know, fully, you know, working with Mr. James Matthews was in 1975 when I joined Muslim News. And he was my mentor, my teacher. But, you know, Shafiq, teacher in more than one way, not just journalism. I mean, whatever I, you know, have done in journalism, you know, over the years, my career, I owe it to Mr. James Matthews. But he was my first political teacher, you know. And, you know, as an aside, he was also the person who first introduced me to jazz music, you know, to jazz, to Nina Simone, your Dolly Brand, you know, Theo Monk, and all these great guys. But, and then on the other, you know, before I get to the actual writing, he also introduced me to the writings of, you know, to poets such as Langston Hughes, you know, who became my favorite. The black writers, African writers, these were kind of, when we were at primary school, you know, our textbooks, and even at high school, rather, you know, we were just, you know, it was the novel, the classics, etc. But it was when I met James Matthews, you know, he introduced me to this strange range of writers, and, you know, two of my favorite poets are, of course, Langston Hughes, and the other one is Pablo Neruda.
Yes.
You know, It was James Matthews who introduced me to them. So yes, Shafiq, I owe a lot to him. But more than just an activist, he was a wonderful person. Infectious laughter. He could be, you know, he had a very cutting or a biting sense of sarcasm at times. But, you know, it was all part of his character. A wonderful person indeed, Shafiq.
And of course, he was a very good poet. There's a phrase that I cannot forget, pass me the meatball, Jones. I think it was one of his books. I still have some of his poetry books in my library somewhere, but for some reason, pass me the meatball, Jones always seems to end up on my desk for some reason. And I've read it a couple
now,
of times,
be,
yeah.
Yeah. Now, Shafiq, that one has a special place in my heart as well, because at that point, I think it was in 1977, I was working at SNS Printers and Muslim News, of course. And so, you know, when Muslim News was done, we were busy with the printing press, trimming, cutting, etc. And this book just came off the press. It was trimmed, and there was strict control about who got copies. And I managed, you know, just when it was released, kind of internally released, I grabbed the copy and I went up to him and I said, Mr. James, we all called him Mr. James because my father, my uncle called him Mr. James. That's Mr. James, can you, you know, autograph this for me? And I, you know, and yesterday I showed it to someone, and it says to Farid, and he spells Farid F-A-R-I-E-D. Now, you know, I don't get upset when someone puts an E in my name, but, you know, it's something that irks me.
Yeah.
But no, but then his note was, spell it correctly, damn it, And then he writes James Matthews. Now, there was this thing between me and him. I would always write Matthews with one T. And that's him. So often when we talk about it, or, you know, when I meet him and I said, James, you remember, it took you years. And it was probably when Quartet was launched, the collection where his short stories are with Alf Wandenberg and Richard Lee. So when that was launched in around about 2009, a reprint, and I went up to him, I said, James, I want your autograph, you know. And he took his time, you know, and he said, it's S-A-R-I-D, correct? I said, yes. But he said, I hope you remember it's double T, you know. So it was wonderful. But as a writer, you know, you talk about Pass Me a Meatball, James. Of course, that was, he actually, you know, the subtitle is Thoughts Gathered in a Prison Cell or something to that effect.
Right.
So the Jones comes in because P.C. Jones, who I met through Mr. James, you know, leader of the Black Consciousness Movement. His cell was next to Mr. James's, and someone brought meatballs, you know,
yeah,
to Peter, you know, and someone mentioned Mr. Matthews, you know, we brought some meatballs, you know, and he, you know, he shouts through the cell bars, and he says, Peter, you know, pass me a meatball, you know, and that was the title, you know, so wonderful. But then I just need to mention also, you know, he had a collection of poetry, of course many, but
yes,
one that also sticks in my mind, Cry Rage.
Yes.
So if you look at Cry Rage, Black Voices Shout, one would say there was a lot of anger in his poetry, because he was angry at the system, he was angry at injustice. And throughout his life, right into the new democratic South Africa, he was, I suppose, probably even emotionally more angry post-1994, because these were people, he respected the liberation movements, he respected the ANC as a liberation movement, and here they were, you know, mired in corruption, and not just corruption, but poor governance, absolutely shambles, and that saddened him. But, you know, his anger was directed in a creative way, you know. And one point I want to make sure is that his writing, his poetry was of such a nature. It wasn't complex. It was very straight, very direct. And it appealed to ordinary folk. And they took his poetry, and I would say, you know, they gained a lot of courage in the face of oppression, the daily toils, you know, and they would read his poetry, or he would read his poetry to people, and they would take courage and from his writing. So a great loss indeed, Shafiq.